Good morning, and welcome to Divine Mercy Radio. This is Alan Migliorato.
And this is Katie French.
And we're here with Adventure Catholic. And if you haven't listened to our show before, and I always say this just to see if, you know, if you've listened to our show before, I guess.
But just to let you know what's going on.
Yeah, just to let you know. And if you haven't, this will be helpful. If you haven't listened to Adventure Catholic Radio before, what we're here for is to bridge the gap between parents and teens, to help each other, help you understand one another, what's going on in their lives, and to help each other bring each other. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say each other one more time. To bring each other closer to Jesus Christ. Right. A lot of times, like we talk about those topics too, right, Katie, that are just kind of taboo, that people don't like to talk about.
The taboo or the confrontational or the harder subjects to talk about.
Right.
You don't want to talk about it with your parents, and parents, you probably don't want to talk about it with your teens. But
right.
We're here to help you have some information and to help be able to talk to each other.
Well, and today, I think we're talking about a topic that is one of those things that we either don't take seriously, or we kind of laugh our way through and go, well, you know, that's not really what it is. And that topic is gossip. Gossip is a very hurtful thing. It can be very hurtful for teenagers, especially in the lives of teens, but also in the lives of adults, you know, that
gossip affects everyone. Gossip affects every community, every people, organization, families too. There's family gossip. And how do you navigate that as a teenager, and how do you navigate that as a parent?
Yeah. And I want to say this right off the bat. Let's face it. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody gossips, and we may not even mean to. That may not be our intent. Like coming to a conversation with somebody, we may not be intending to gossip.
Sure.
Like, let's say you have a neighbor that moves in across the street from you. Instantly, you're within the first week, you're talking to your other neighbors and like, did you see how this guy parks? It's Tuesday. He knows when the trash goes out. This guy's got his trash out on Sunday night. Like, it's going to bring raccoons. You know,
like, or you tell him, oh man, look at that guy's lawn.
Yeah, look at his lawn. Hey, buddy, you know, do you need help? Do you need a sharpener for the blade? Like, but we don't say that to people.
You don't say it to them. You say it to the neighbor.
We say it to the neighbor.
This guy needs to.
Yeah. Lawn. Yeah. Or your group chat, right? Think about a group chat is filled with the latest intel on your friend's newest ex partner.
You'll send a screenshot of like someone's Facebook. Did you see so and so got back together with so and so?
Like, oh my gosh. Or there's so much. There's just so much out there that
there's all different forms of gossip.
We take idle chat, right? And I, first of all, I want to say that I unfortunately end up taking part in this at times.
Oh,
I do.
For sure.
I don't. It's never an intended thing. It's never something that
I'll that notice I it set as I'm in the middle do. Of it and go, ooh.
Yeah. Oops. I see what I'm doing. I might as well finish this conversation and then no more. You know, unfortunately, gossip is a common phenomenon among teens and in the workplace too. Schools, universities, groups of friends, you mentioned families. Those are hot spots.
Real hot spots. Like, gossip. Think about the kid that leaves for college and then you come back. Oh, dude, did you see mom did this? Oh, did you see mom? Like, it's so rapid.
What is the morbid curiosity that is where I really wonder? The morbid curiosity that the human beings have in not only viewing the faults of others, but sharing them with others and passing them on.
Are you saying that's like why people gossip?
I think that's part of the reason. It's just kind of like watching NASCAR. Like, you don't watch it to see who wins, you watch it to see who wrecks, right? And it's people are I think fascinated with other people's falling or their the falling of grace from other people. And I don't understand that part of it.
Or even not the falling of the grace, but just knowing everything about somebody. Think about how everyone has a podcast. Think about how everyone has reality TV show. There's the Kardashian. There's every reality TV show. There's Big Brother. People we have no idea anything about, but the show has made us want to watch everything about them.
Well,
they have a live feed.
Yes, and you and I, and so we've watched Big Brother together. We watched
the
show.
Awesome.
It's, now, if you're not familiar with the show, like they put a bunch of young adults, mm-hmm. right? Usually young adults in the house together, and then they have what they call a diary room where they'll go off to the side, and basically it's a gossip room where they're talking about everybody else.
And that's how they progress into the next episode.
They get to the next episode.
If they gossiped well enough about somebody else, or they made themselves look good.
Right, and we are not condoning watching Big
Brother.
It's just one of those things.
We're just saying it's everywhere.
It's a NASCAR wreck. It's a garbage fire, but it's something that we end up watching. So here's some of the things we want to talk about today, right? First of all, we want to recognize that gossip is disruptive of harmony and charity, and and realize that we still go on indulging in it. And whether or not we're doing it intentionally or we're getting dragged into it, we're still, we have free will to do or not to do this sin, mm-hmm. all sins. But we're going to basically talk about these main five main things today. And I want to just kind of lay those out for everybody. Also, if you have a pen or if you're driving, don't do this right now. But our phone number here is 321-757-7705.
What was that again?
321-757.
Okay.
77.
Yeah.
05.
03 or 5.
So if you want to talk about Katie or if you have anything to say gossip-wise, please call in.
If you want to know anything about Alan, I've got you.
Here's the five things we're going to talk about today. Number one. Why is it so difficult to first recognize gossip as gossip and then second to stop doing it?
Okay.
Okay. The second thing we're going to talk about is where does gossip fit into moral law as far as especially the Ten Commandments?
Like catechesis?
Catechism, Ten Commandments. Well, not there, but Ten Commandments. what does sacred scripture and the catechism of the Catholic Church have to say about gossip?
Okay.
What effects does gossip have on the lives of teens and adults? And how has social media played a part in camouflaging gossip?
Oof.
Then we're also going to wrap up the show. Not yet, so don't be like, oh, thank goodness this is a. But
just letting us know,
in an hour from now, we'll be wrapping up the show with some tips on how teens can actually avoid gossip, okay? Or what they can do if they're being gossiped about. Okay, so mm-hmm. first, Katie, okay. Why is it so difficult to first recognize that gossip is gossip, to acknowledge it, and second, to stop doing it? Why do you think?
I think, one, people don't know what gossip is because we give it other names.
Like what?
Like I'm venting, or I'm bonding with someone else, or I'm sharing my perspective, or I'm – vent is the biggest one I can think of. I'm
shooting venting. The breeze,
or
right?
Or shooting the breeze.
Yeah,
or
just passing time, sharing our frustrations with friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's easy to call it venting.
Well, I think we get pulled into it. Right. And why? But why? I think it's really the curiosity for me is why the morbid curiosity in finding somebody else's faults and talking about them. Like, what is, are we not building somebody up? Recently they had the political debates on television, right?
We're talking politics.
Well, we're not talking politics, but what I do want to talk about is our forget what it was that was being talked about.
Sure.
There are two human beings. Mm-hmm. Created in the image and likeness of God on television, whether we like those people as a person or not,
right?
They're on television and we're supposed to love that person whether we agree with what side they stand on.
Right.
It becomes very difficult when we can't separate politics and church. I disagree with that. We can't, because we have to bring our moral decision making everywhere with us. We can't set Jesus aside and go, okay, well, I'm going to make a decision on this now.
Well, it's that there's no one saying you can vote this or that. It's vote with your moral conscience.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. But it has to be a formed conscience when you vote. Yes. Anyway, but we have these two people on TV. It's a garbage fight. It's a dumpster fire that we're watching. They're both slinging insults at one another. They're both, and we're like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that this happened.
It wasn't focused.
It wasn't, it was all over the place. It was like somebody would say something about the other side. The other one would say, that's not true. That's a complete lie. And the other one would say, no, it's true. I have backup. And the other would do the same thing.
It was more reality show than political.
Yeah, yeah. But 5 minutes into the debate, right? Sure. Here's how social media plays an impact on this.
Okay.
5 minutes into watching the political debate, you've got people making memes, sending them out, right? And we laugh about, and here's the thing. This is where it's camouflaged. And I just want to point out, this is where gossip is camouflaged. We've got memes being sent out with these two men. Both sides are doing this, right? With something that might have been said or misunderstood or misspoken, right. And now we've got this huge trail of insult and injury being spread by people who think it's funny, right? And quite honestly, it might be, but the comment might be funny, but the act,
but the treating of the
of
person.
Treating somebody, yeah, like that might be really hurtful, you know. And you know, you wonder like how does this fit into our moral fiber? Like, why do people gossip? I've come up with a few reasons. I want to see which one you think this is, like, which one do you think is the most, like, the biggest reason why people gossip?
Okay.
The first one I came up with is envy. So people like to see, like to make others seem as like they're less of who they are.
Okay.
So in other words, I'm going to push you down so that I can be bigger. I envy.
And you're gossiping to try to get someone on your side.
Well, yes. Or not even to build a team against somebody, but because I want to look like I'm right.
Okay.
I want you to be wrong so that everybody can understand that, hey, I was right here. So I'm envious of you. So I can create, you might say one thing that I twist.
I see.
Right? And really think about that, the twisting of words, that's the devil, right? You're not going to die if you eat that fruit. You're not going to die. He doesn't mean die. He means just, you know, he's kind of figurative. That's basically what the devil says. It's like, hey, you're not going to die. Just have the fruit. It's good. He just doesn't want you to be like him. So that's the twisting, right? And so when we have envy, like we're envious of someone else, I think that when people do that, I think that's one of the big reasons. What are your thoughts on that?
What were some other reasons?
So someone likes to be a know-it-all, right? Someone
just likes to know everything about somebody.
Yeah, someone likes to be the go-to. Like, oh, hey, do you know what's going on with that couple mm-hmm. over there? Are they divorced? The couple aren't sitting next to each other in church anymore. I haven't seen the wife in a long time. Are they divorced? You know, and you know who will know the answer to this? Miss Know-It-All or Mr. Know-It-All. Mm-hmm. And so people like to be the go-to for the town sounding board, you know, like that person knows everything that's going on and is willing to share it anytime you ask mm-hmm. them. As long as it's not happening to them.
Oh yeah. Right? They never share their own. Well, they gather someone else's info to share and not their own.
Yeah. I think people take pleasure in sharing others' misery as long as they're not part of it or as long as they're not going to look bad.
They're in control of it.
Here's the other reason I feel that I think a lot of teens fall into this one, right? A sense of belonging. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this as a teenager, but like I know that I have. I've been in a group of people where somebody will come in the room. I remember like being in high school. Like I went to Catholic school for 8 years, and when I went to public high school, there was, you know, like all baseball players. I'm playing baseball. We're all standing around. Somebody came in the room who was like a senior. And I was on varsity and like they left the room and like the other guys were like, dude, like you don't want to hang around that guy. Like mm-hmm. he's bad. Like he's a jerk. And I'm like, why is he a jerk? You know, like he seemed like a pretty nice guy to me. Like why, what's wrong with him? And like, well, just trust us.
And they know all the bad stuff about them.
There may not be anything bad about the guy. Mm-hmm. There might be, but I don't know the people that I'm hanging around with well enough to know that I can trust them. Yeah. But here's the thing. Anybody who talks about someone else when they leave the room, they're going to talk about you when you leave the room.
Right.
Right. And so automatically I don't trust these guys. Right. But my naivety at the time, my innocence at the time was like, seems like an all right guy to me. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, he does, you know, and now you get pigeonholed as, oh, he's on that side. You know, he's on the blue side. He's not on the green side.
Or even if it's not against that person, then they're trying to get you on their side. I've seen people bond over talking about someone that they both don't like.
Right.
They'll go, oh, did you see so-and-so was doing, oh, yeah, man. And they become best friends over talking bad about someone else.
But the minute that something goes wrong in that friendship.
That's who they're going to talk about.
They're talking about you mm-hmm. to someone else. Like the worst thing to do is to have three friends, right? The groups of three, because one is always getting talked about by the other two. Like I find like
that's why my mom had four kids, not three.
That's why your mom
had. That's actually the reason.
Well, I had three daughters, and let me tell you that this, they're good. They're good girls. They're good girls. The other reason that I want to talk about a little bit, actually, I want to talk about this one in a little bit more depth, right?
Okay.
And I think that we use this one as an excuse a lot.
What do you want
to know what it is?
I do. I think it's venting.
It is venting.
Is it really?
It is. Yes, it's venting.
I knew it.
Right? So when think about this. And I have this happen to me, I would say, multiple times a day. Right? Not just by you. But
I was going to say it's
not
me.
Just by you. But people will reach out to me and, hey, man, you got a minute? And I'm like, yeah, of course. What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Right? Or people will come by my office just to, hey, I was just driving by. Dude, you don't live anywhere near here. What's going on?
What do you want?
You know, what's up? Yeah. I just need to vent for a minute. Can I can I vent for a minute? Is it bad? And I'm like, I don't know if it's bad or not. Like, I haven't
heard what
you had to say or not, but I'm willing to hear because I love you and care about you. What is it? So venting, right? And here's what we do. If you tell someone you trust so that you can get something off your chest, something that is bothering you, and you can move on because you think that person will help you move on. That's venting, right? If you come to me with something and you're like, Alan, in confidence, I'm just telling you like, so-and-so is driving me crazy.
if you're sharing, if you're venting to have someone else help you carry that load,
yeah,
that makes sense. That's venting.
Right.
That's what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. But here's where I think venting turns into like a leaf blower. It's not venting anymore. Now it's, I vented to you, and the next person that I see, they're going to say, hey, I see you and so aren't getting along. And you're like, oh my gosh, she's driving mm-hmm. me crazy. Now you vent to another person. So it
becomes word vomit.
It becomes intimate gossip, right? Mm-hmm. It becomes an intimate form of gossip when you're gossiping to groups of people or to a friend group. And this is how what happens with teens a lot. They vent to a friend group about one person in the group.
They're mad about something. That's, they're mad about venting. Some type of conflict. And so. Yeah,
it's not venting. First of all, you're not, what's the intent, right? If the intent of what you're doing right now is to take joy in somebody else looking bad, that's not venting, right? If you're venting to me about so-and-so because you want her to or him to look like a jerk so that you look better, that's not venting. If you're venting because you want to truly, really find a way to kind of, maybe you're not seeing something the right way, and you've said this to me before. Hey, can you check me on this? Is my perspective off? Am I really wrong? Am I just mad or am I being treated badly by these people?
Yeah.
And you've said that to me, and I think that that's a fair conversation between two friends. Because I care about you, and I'll tell you the truth. And I've told
you
before.
You'll tell me the truth, yeah.
I've told you before, Katie, you're way off base. Like, you need to let it go.
You're just mad.
Right. And
it helps. I go, okay. And then I don't feel the need.
Right. So venting doesn't carelessly relate false or incomplete information. So in other words, if you're just telling me your side of the story, right?
Yeah.
You're really not venting. You're just talking about somebody else without giving me the full story.
If you're sharing for – you're accomplishing a goal or you're talking to the right person, that's the counsel, that's the venting, that's the right way to be going about it. But if it turns into getting on – like, hey, Alan, get on my side about this person.
Well, here's a gauge for venting, I think. For those of you who are saying, I'm just venting, is it an appropriate time and place – sorry, I bit my tongue there. Place. Is it an appropriate time and place to have a conversation with somebody about something who can reasonably be trusted to help you get beyond it?
That's fair. Like we talked about the other day, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary?
Right. Is it true? It might be true, mm-hmm. but is it kind? It might be both of those, but is it necessary for someone to hear this information? Maybe not. And at that point, you shouldn't say something, right. You know, that fits into our talk a little bit later.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Did you have anything?
My favorite thing about gossip is, or not my favorite thing about gossip, but the best way to have a gauge. Say that
again. My favorite thing about gossip.
My favorite way to gauge it is you're going to critique other people precisely in the measure that you're willing to help them deal with the matter that you've brought forward. So are you totally committed to helping that person and you're trying to solve a problem, you're trying to fix something? Then yeah, critique away, because that's conflict resolution, that's critiquing, that's helping the other person be a better person. If you're critiquing and you have like no interest, calm down, keep quiet, you're good. If you have no interest, don't say anything at all. Like,
well,
if you're right. Critiquing to help, yes. If you're critiquing to have fun and talk, that's not helping anyone.
No, it's not, but it's easy to do.
Of course.
It's easy
to
do.
I'm saying that's a good gauge.
Yeah, because you want people to have your back, right? And so, like, when you have a friend group, you know, you might say, well, I trust these people. And I don't think of it as, because I know my friends will help me get through this, right? And as teenagers, yes. They may, oh, my friends are going to help me get through this. Why are you talking about it? Are you really struggling with, hey, maybe I'm wrong here? Can you guys help me through it? Maybe not. You might be just trying to build up a team,
right?
So that the other person, you know, has nothing and you have everything, and that really is a sinful way to go about it. You're not trying to help the other person, you know. You're just trying to help yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, especially with my siblings growing up, if like I was mad at one of them, I'd go to the other one. I'd go, oh my gosh, I'll say his name. Sean's my little brother. I'll go, Sean, do you think blah 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 was like wrong? Like I did this. I poured glitter in her stuff, but like she can't get that mad. And Sean is so mild-mannered, he'd go, I don't know. He'd try to stay out of it. I don't know. But I was trying to get Sean on my team. I was trying to get other people on my team so that I could be right.
Well, I'll share this about, I love Sean, first of all. I think Sean is, Sean, listen, I wish he was on the show today because he
would be a really good person to talk
he
about.
He was this. Present when a friend of mine and I had a disagreement, right?
Yeah.
And here's where I think I fell into a little bit of gossip. I was asking you what your opinion was on it, and I was trying to figure out, like, Sean, am I telling the whole story here? Am I missing something? But Sean was just so, he was like, he's very, not political, he would be a good politician. He'd be a great priest, first of all.
Yes, he's very, he wants to keep everything even keel.
He wants to be honest about it. He's like,
honest, and he wants to keep everything the peace.
Because he can see like both sides. Sean, if you're listening, get thee to a nunnery. You need to become.
Nunnery.
Become a priest. It's a Shakespeare.
Focus.
Anyway, focused. Back on Sean. So Sean would say things like, well, you know, both of you kind of had good points, you know, and maybe here's something to think about. Like, he was very pastoral in his approach, but it's such a loving way and an innocent way to approach something, because how easy it would be for him, because I'm in front of him, mm-hmm. to take my side. And then when I leave, to say behind my back to you, yeah, Alan was kind of wrong, but you know, I didn't want to say it in front of him, but he won't do that.
He won't do that.
He won't do that.
If I'm mad at anyone in the family, he'll let me be mad for a minute, and he'll go, do you want my advice yet? And I'll go, no, and then I'll keep being mad.
Right.
And then he'll go, you love Mom, right? And I'm like, yes. Mom, if you're listening, don't worry about it. But he'll go, okay, well, you love him, and it's not that big of a deal, right? I'll go, okay.
Yeah. But I think that is a great way to...
He reminds me that the other person's a human being. And I think that's what we forget sometimes with gossip, is that that person that you're talking about, made in the image and likeness of God. Like, right. God loves that person just as much as you.
Well, and I want to talk about this too. Like, this is, you know, that's venting, and that's kind of having that Sean's a good guy to vent to for me, because he actually will tell me.
Gossip.
He won't tell anything to anyone, and he'll kind of give me a really good perspective, an honest perspective on both sides of whatever I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Or he'll ask
too.
Questions.
He'll do that too.
Who?
You.
No, I will. I like to, but usually.
I can't gossip with you.
No, I won't let you. You try. So where do you think gossiping fits into moral law, especially Ten Commandments? If you had to pick a commandment, that gossiping was against, what would you say gossip would fit right into?
I wouldn't say like the envy stuff. Because no, it destroys.
The Ten Commandments. Wise.
I know. I'm trying.
There's ten.
Thank you. No, I destroy because it destroys or it builds. So I'd probably say like the kill one, number five.
The kill one. The kill one. Thou shalt not kill. Nice.
I'm turning off my mic.
Thank you. No, I agree with you. Like it
kills. Cause
definitely
it,
kills.
Because words either build or destroy, like, communities, people, lives. So I would probably say the kill one.
I also think, and right, this is not necessarily looked at as one that it comes against in all circumstances, mm-hmm. but also like bearing false witness.
Yeah, right? It's
bearing
lying,
false
yeah.
witness against your neighbor. So that's what, even if it's true, you're also. If it's true, you're tearing them down with by thou shalt not kill. If it's not true, you're tearing them down with, you know, bearing false witness against your neighbor. Either way, how about being quiet? You know, like, here's the thing. We believe in everything visible and invisible as Catholics.
Yes.
Right? As we preach.
You can't separate the two.
We can't separate the two. So if we hurt somebody spiritually, we're also hurting them emotionally, mentally, spiritually, mm-hmm. and physically. So, like, mm-hmm. we've got to start building other people up instead of tearing them down. And that might include separating yourself, if you're a teen, from a group of friends mm-hmm. who are really not helping you grow. And I think that's a really important part, is if you're around a group of people, either whether you're an adult or a teen, who is just not helping you grow, I think you have a series of steps that you go through to kind of get away from them, right? Or to not get away, but you bring it up to them, hey, you know, we tend as a group to kind of be gossipy about friends, about other people. I don't like that. I'd like us to stop doing that.
Right. That's how I noticed what friend group to kind of be with. Once I heard that all they did was talk to each other about so-and-so and so-and-so, I was like, this is just negative. This is just belligerent, negative commentary.
Yep.
I don't need this. And I noticed that the friends that didn't do that were true people that wanted to talk and have the conflict resolution when we did have problems come up. I knew that they weren't going to gossip. Like, you're a perfect example. Like, I knew problems wouldn't come up with us because you tell me quite honestly when things happen. And we have resolution all the time instead of gossip.
After you get mad at me and cry about it, yes. Yes, there's always that period of, oh, Katie. Like,
but I'd rather have that than the fake and the quiet and the talking bad about each other.
Sure. No, I would too. I would too. Right. Like, because I've but also seen people where they do that, especially as teenagers, where they're like, they'll agree with you. The minute somebody walks out of the room and the other person comes in, they're on their side too. My gosh, take a stand against gossiping on both, just like your brother Sean. Like, listen, I'm going to tell the truth both ways here, and I'm not picking sides. You guys need to figure this out and build each other up.
My other brother's a different example. Sean's the peaceful side.
Yeah.
Jared, the older brother, he'll go, have you told mom about that? And he'll go, let's have a conversation. And he'll pull both of you and do it.
But I want to say this. I think that's a fantastic way, too. I think Jared's approach, too, is...
He's very good about that.
It's, you know, look, let's not get behind someone's back and talk, because it's not going to fix anything.
No, it won't.
Right? The other thing is that people never vent to Jesus.
Ooh.
And I think that that's a problem. It's like, we're going to vent. Like, Lord, this person's driving me crazy. Right? Mm-hmm. Will you please soften my heart so that I can understand them a little better?
Yeah. I vent to Jesus. I do a whole...
Right. But here's the thing. We ask for that person to change a lot of time instead of for ourselves to change. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are the ones that need to change. God doesn't make us meet people by accident, right?
Right.
Nothing happens, like in scripture, nothing happens by accident. Jesus is walking through a crowd and a woman who's bleeding for 12 years happens to touch his cloak. That's not an accident. Yeah. He allows these things to happen so that it changes us. She went away changed from that encounter. We need to come away from every encounter, no matter how difficult it is, we need to come away changed.
Right. Like, he doesn't want you to, he doesn't say, I want this bad person near you.
No.
He allows that bad person to be near you because, you know, when you pray for patience, you get opportunity for patience.
Yes. Yes, you do. Yes.
That's why I
pray for it. He puts you in my car on I-4. That's my opportunity for patience. Yes, he does do that.
What are you trying to say over there, buddy?
I'm saying that God is great. God is great. Here's what the sacred scripture and the catechism of the Catholic Church have to say about gossip too. Okay, mm-hmm. What exactly is gossip? So we've got a couple of different things. Well, but we have, because the word gossip does not appear in catechism.
No, it doesn't.
Right. So does that mean there's no such thing? Absolutely not.
Please.
We have common terms for common today terms, right? Cultural terms that are in the catechism. That are not in the catechism. Here's what I mean. We use gossip instead of detraction, right? It's a sin of detraction. Detraction is, read this. The sin of detraction is who, without objectively valid reason, discloses another's faults and failings to persons who did not previously know them.
That's gossip.
That's gossip, but it's the definition of detraction in the catechism, right? So it's a term that we don't use the word detraction often. Mm-mm. But that's what gossip, we've replaced it with gossip, right? There's also rash judgment, right? That's also in the catechism. This is, by the way, Catechism 2477, CCC 2477. Respect for the reputation of persons forbids every attitude and work likely to cause them unjust injury. He becomes guilty of rash judgment who even tactically assumes as true without sufficient foundation the moral fault of a neighbor. So if, like, that guy obviously is cheating on his wife. He's always with this other girl. He's always with this other person. Why don't you ask him? Mm-hmm. Because that's rash judgment. And that is the sin before you even know if this other person's sinning. Gospel, the scripture tells us if one of our neighbors is falling to sin, we go to them by ourselves and privately.
That's scripture, yeah.
Right? And then we bring another person with us as a witness. We need to remember those things. We also have calumny, which we use as slander today, right? And that's we harming the reputation of another with false judgments. We're going to talk about some of these things after we get back from break. I just wanted to kind of give an overview of what exactly it is that we're talking about. Anything before we head off to break, Katie?
I love you.
Oh, for the love.
You going to gossip about me?
As soon as you leave the room, the moment that you walk out of here.
I'll see you soon.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes, so don't miss out. Oh, good. Welcome back. My nose is running. So I'm like, yep. Oh, the mics are on. Great.
Welcome back. This is WDMC Radio, 920 AM, Divine Mercy Radio, Catholic Radio. My name is Katie French, and I have with me
Alan Migliorato, who would like to hit the big reset button and start this half hour over.
And we are Adventure Catholic, and our goal always with our ministry is to bridge the gap between teens and parents, and to help each other, parents helping the teens, teens helping the parents get closer to Christ, and being able to have good conversation about hard topics. And today's topic that we're doing is gossip.
Great. If you're just tuning in, Michael,
we had a lot to say.
We had a lot. Yeah, but I think the second half, I think this is a very important important thing. We're talking about where this fits in the catechism, right? Where does the catechism talk about gossip? And we just said right before the break, we talk about rash judgment and detraction and calumny.
Those are all gossip. Which,
and I'm probably saying that word wrong. I constantly say that word wrong. Yeah, we're going to call it calumny. But it's also slander, right? That's what calumny is. There's another. So if you've written down, it's 2477 in the catechism. There's another part of the catechism that I want to talk about. And that's when something might be true about somebody, right? And do we have to speak that truth at all times? Do we have to speak it? And this is where, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Mm-hmm. Kind of comes into play. And that's Catechism of the Catholic Church, 2488 to 2489. Listen to this. I want to read this to you. It says the right to the communication of the truth is not unconditional. Everyone must conform his life to the gospel precept of fraternal love. This requires us in concrete situations to judge whether or not it is appropriate to reveal the truth to someone who asks for it. So that doesn't mean to lie. Mm-hmm. It just means to refuse to speak about other people, right? You can be quiet. It's like someone says, hey, do you know if so-and-so is having an affair? And you could say, listen, it's not my place to say.
Right.
If you want to know about somebody else's interest, why don't you talk to them? Because they're going to be the best source of you instead of talking to me about it. And I've had that conversation, I can tell you, countless times with people. Alan, did you know that so-and-so? And I'm like, I didn't know. Did you know? Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, how do you know? Well, I don't know. Well, then go ask that person, because talking to me about someone else doesn't help. Mm-hmm. It doesn't change anything.
I'll catch my students doing it all the time. Like if they hear like someone's in trouble, they'll come up to me or they'll go up to each other. Oh, what's so-and-so in trouble for? I always go, yeah. What are you about to be in trouble for? And they go, nothing. But yeah. It's very easy to do the
next time when a kid asks you, what did so-and-so do? Say they gossiped. They got in someone else's business. Would you like detention as well? So I think charity, this is also from Catechism. I want to read just this a little bit. I want to read. Charity and respect for the truth should dictate the response to every request for information or communication. Is it charitable and respectful for you to be spreading things about somebody else, even if you know that they're true? It's not. Is it true? Yes. Let's say that something is true. Number two, is it kind?
Even if it is.
I mean, not maybe speaking to that person about it could be kind by telling them, listen, man, you're on the wrong path. You know, you're going down the wrong way. Is it necessary to spread that to other people? The answer is no. How is this other person knowledge going to help them?
Right.
You know? And so we've got to be careful. Duty to avoid scandal often commands strict discretion. Right, so we need to be discreet with our knowledge, because otherwise we're the source of that gossip. If we get asked by somebody, is so and so doing this, you know, is so and so stealing from there? There are times, right? There are times when it is okay to share someone else's faults with somebody, and I want to talk about that for a second. Let's say that somebody is interviewing for a job at the church, okay? Okay. And there's a board of people that are going to be interviewing them. And this person that comes before the board, and someone has knowledge about this person that is going to be detrimental if they don't speak up about it to allow this person to work at the church, it's going to be a problem.
Right.
They need to share with only those people who need to hear that information, who are making that decision, that knowledge. Mm-hmm. If someone is, let's say they're teenagers, if someone is using drugs, right, or starting to to engage in premarital sex or something that is not good for them.
Right. You wouldn't share with your peers because the peers
are not going to say, guess what so and so is doing.
No.
But what you would say, right, is if, listen, the right person needs to hear this. I'm going to share this with the appropriate person so that we can help.
You say what you need to say to accomplish a goal to the right people.
Right. But it's not unwholesome. Speaking of unwholesome.
Mm.
Speaking of, you're like,
That's a weird segue.
It is, but I wanted to use it because I thought it was weird enough to use. So Ephesians 4:29, if you want to read some scripture about gossip, this is so beautiful. And I want to say what it means in my own words after, but Ephesians 4:29 says, let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth. But if there is any word, good word for edification, according to the need of the moment, say that so that it will give grace to those who hear.
Mm.
If you ain't got something nice to say, don't say it at all. And if you're going to say something, let it be kind, right?
Yeah.
So if somebody's like gossiping, did you see so-and-so? Oh my gosh, the way that she dresses, you know? How about saying something like if you're in a friend group, say, I always thought she was so pretty.
Isn't that how you fight it? If someone comes up to you.
That's how I fight it. If someone says, I can't believe that she was the only person waiting at the church after, and she sings. Oh my gosh, she hits notes that are, there's not even such a thing as the notes that girl sings in that choir. And I'll say, she's such a nice lady. Isn't she such a nice lady? And like it will either completely quiet the group that I'm in.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is so nice. Now they're all starting to build this person up. But there's always one,
mm-hmm.
right, that will fight it and go, yeah, but she can't sing. Mm-hmm. She might be nice, but she needs to be nice quietly because she can't. And then you're like, okay, yes, that's a very funny comment. But you would say something like, but I really love the way she has a great heart. Right. And I will battle when somebody does that in a group. Mm-hmm. I will battle it with a good compliment about it'll always be a true one, but it will be a good, kind thing to say. Right. And I'm not saying that, listen, I'm on an ivory tower here because also said the other side of I don't understand why they let this person sing. Like, it's killing me. Like, I will not come to this mass.
My way I like to do it when I hear the gossip, I go, I feel so bad for that person, or I'm sure they're struggling.
Yeah.
God's really working on them.
Right. Yeah, and so look, not let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds so simple. I have younger kids. I go, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it, or like speak the or sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Do you remember that old saying?
Yeah, and that's not true because words hurt.
Words do hurt. I have James 3.
Oh, read it. Don't sing it. But read it.
It's not me he's talking about. I would like to say I have a wonderful voice.
Actually, it's no. We start gossiping on the radio. Go ahead, Katie. Read James 3.
I don't know. Say please. Anyways, James 3. I like because it talks about like how every human is going to be at fault for that. It says if anyone does not fall short in speech, he is a perfect man. So everyone's going to fall short in speech. Everyone, even Alan.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Especially. Alan.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Perfect.
And it keeps going on, but it says, in the same way, the tongue is a small member and yet has great pretensions. Consider how small a fire can set a huge forest ablaze.
Mm-hmm.
And when the kids, I'll keep mentioning my students because it's easy to see it in a younger kid perspective because we all do it. But the kid that says, oh, so-and-so's they say a mean name, like a poopy head or something like that. I'll go, can you unsay that word? Can you take that back? Well, I can say sorry. Yeah, but do they remember that still? And they'll go, yeah, like they'll always remember that. I'm like, that's exactly it. And I know you don't like this analogy, but the tube of toothpaste. Has anyone ever tried to?
Not that I don't like it. I think of a way to do what you're saying is impossible.
Let me get there.
Go ahead.
If you have a tube of toothpaste and you squeeze all the toothpaste out, squeeze all of it out, every little bit of it, can you put the toothpaste back in? Go ahead, Alan.
No, you can't. However, mm-hmm. I just like you're asking like an engineering question. Like you probably, but it wouldn't be the same. I'll agree with that. It would never be the same.
It will never be the same again.
Right. I'm sorry.
You have to.
You cannot ask me an actual literal question because
very literal. Anything. I'm very black and white about things. But you can't put the two. So what I'm saying is it's going to always affect that person. Whether they even remember the words that you said, they'll remember how you made them feel. So words they either destroy or they. That's why I like to say gossip also is that everyday betrayal. Like look at Lucifer. We talked about how Satan was like, well, it's not. Is it a death? Death? Is it really dying? Dying? He's the ultimate gossiper, and he was a betrayer. Look at Judas. Judas was betraying. He shared information he didn't need to. That was ultimate betrayal.
True. It's true.
So that gossip, that breaks that relationship, it breaks that community, breaks that person's life. And that's betrayal. That's why I say it's the killing.
That's really, those are really great points, Katie. Those are fantastic points. Saint Padre Pio, one of my favorite saints, he says, listen to what he says about gossip. He says, when you gossip about a person, it means that you have removed that person from your heart. But be aware, when you remove a man from your heart, Jesus also goes away from your heart with that man. I get chills when hearing Padre Pio, I can just see him saying this. Yeah. When you gossip about someone, you remove that person from your heart. Mm-hmm. And if you think about what he's saying, that's directly accurate. Like, mm-hmm. you're not caring anymore about this person. You're only caring about building something up against them, whether it's envy or jealousy or venting or hatred. You remove that person from your heart, because if he was in your heart and he was part of you, as we all are part of the body of Christ, we wouldn't talk bad about other people because we wouldn't want to destroy any part of us. That's why we love God with all our heart and love our neighbor as ourself. Mm-hmm. There's no way that we can gossip about someone if we love them as ourself, because we wouldn't want it done to us. So when Padre Pio says, or Saint Padre Pio says, when you gossip about a person, it means you remove that person from your heart, followed by a warning.
Yeah, that's,
and this
that's
is where
scary.
The chills come in.
Yeah.
Be aware, not beware, be aware that when you remove someone from your heart, Jesus goes after that man. He goes with him. So like, and that's the lost sheep. Mm-hmm. It's the isolated, desolate sheep that Jesus always comes for, those who are in peril or danger or sinning. So he's here for us, but like we've done that on purpose. And I don't think that we take seriously how much gossip can actually hurt someone. And let me say this, it's fun sometimes to be part of a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. You might listen, if somebody wants to start tearing up on somebody that I just cannot stand, like, it's so easy. It's so easy. And like, to really catch yourself and go, oh, like, yep, he is a jerk, but I can't say that.
Because it's so much easier to not think it's a deep cut.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to make light of it. And that's why it's the joking, right? When you have the funny insults or whatever else, that makes it the lighthearted, where it's not really that deep of a problem, but it is. It doesn't matter if it's the big words or this, like, there's a cut is a cut.
Yeah, we didn't talk about this scripture, but I think this is Proverbs 16:28. It says, a perverse man spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. We're talking about just speech. Mm. The beauty of a true friendship, I think, is awesome, because, I don't consider many people very close. Like, you know, I have a very small circle of intimacy and I keep people very close. I love everybody. You know how I am. I love everybody. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to like someone who I will feel that I can share something with, mm-hmm. there's a small list of things, of people that I will go, yes, Katie, you're on it.
For I the know. Love of, come on. I just want everyone else to know.
Oh, you're smiling so big. Like, if I guess we have to do this video sometime, just because she's who's on it. But that friendship, like somebody to separate that friendship with gossip, I think is such damaging. And there's a story I wanted to share too, right? And it's an old.
Oh, I like this
folklore,
one.
But I and it's got a really weird ending to. And I'm not gonna. The ending's kind of weird. But here's the point of the story is there's a man, an old man and a young boy riding on a donkey, and as they come into town, and you may have heard the story, and if you have, and please don't call in and interrupt me. Thank you.
Old man, young man.
The old man, young man on a donkey, and they're coming to town, and as they go through the town, there's different groups of people standing outside, different vendors, and they say, in the first group they pass, they're like, look how stupid these two people are. They're riding this donkey. Like, that's so mean for this donkey. He's got to carry all that weight. Mm-hmm. Don't they care about that donkey? And so the old man hears it and he says, oh, come on, son, get off. And so they both get off and they're walking with the donkey. And the next group of people, they come by, they're like, these guys are idiots. They should be riding that donkey, right? At least one of them. I mean, how stupid to have a beast of burden and to pull it behind you. And so the old man puts the young boy up on the donkey and he keeps walking. And the next group says, how awful that young man is making that old man pull that donkey. It's sinful. And so the old man switches places again with the young boy now. And the next group says, oh, that is so bad that that young man is being forced to lead that old man on a donkey. So
I think that plays into your advice.
The gossip right there is that really, who cares what people say? Like, if you know, like, you're on a journey. Mm-hmm. However you're getting to that journey, if you know that you're not doing something sinful on the way, right? Mm-hmm. Then who cares what people are thinking?
That's easy to say.
It is easy to say. It's easy. I can say it again. It's that easy.
But teens that are listening, it's really easy to get caught in the gossip, especially if you're being talked about like online or with your friend groups, and you just don't know who you can trust or who to turn to. And I think that's why listening to that story as in a teen perspective, it's easy to go, okay, it doesn't matter what someone who has no idea my story or who I really am to talk about me. My best advice when I have teens that are either like in low self-esteem or they have that rumor going around about them, I ask them, I'm like, who knows you the best? And they'll go, oh, well, my mom or you or whatever else. I'm like, do we gossip about you? Have we entered this rumor? Well, no. I go, who knows better about you than me? And he'll go, Jesus. And like, that's always like, Jesus. And that's where you learn your truth from. You don't learn your perspective of you from even yourself sometimes. You know it from God. And so that's why you turn to scripture.
And you're dead on with like, it's easy to say, because this is the one of the other things we wanted to talk about is how does gossiping, what effect does it have on the lives of teenagers?
Yeah.
So when I was in school, which is like right after Moses, I graduated, right? When I was in school, somebody gossiping was, okay, you get to school and people whisper as you walk past them, right?
Okay.
Or, you know, or a locker room. Somebody's kind of gossiping in a locker room, or you're in a club and somebody's gossiping in the club, talking about you or talking about someone else. Today, it's very different. And teens are faced with social media gossip and bullying. This is serious. This is a no joke part of, and none of the part of our show was a joke, but like there's funny things that we talk about. This is not funny. There are teens who have exhaustion, mental and emotional exhaustion, post-traumatic stress, right? That they're dealing with this.
Yeah.
Not just being a teenager, because everybody goes through things as a teenager. I'm talking about serious clinical depression, anxiety, stress disorders, panic attacks, suicide, guilt. I mean, they're riddled with this because of the way that social media works now. And we see this in youth group, right? Kids will come up to us and show us a screenshot of a text that so-and-so sent. And it's like, who are you showing this to? If you're showing it to me, like, are you showing it to me so that I can help you like walk through this? Are you venting to me? How many people have you vented to if it's a screenshot that you sent out to, you know, your group chats and excluded this one person from it?
And I think it's easy to fall into that gossip because the human being is detached from, like, the human body is detached from who, like, the soul of who they are, because they see a picture and it's easy to talk about someone when they're not in front of you.
Right.
That's what the social media, it's easy to make the funny or what you think is a funny comment and for everyone to like it because you get to stop looking at it right away. You know, it doesn't hang out with you. That person's not right next to you. And so that's why it's easy to go deeper cuts. But for the people receiving it, it's like, does everyone feel that way? And so they look at the comments. They look at how many likes that comment has. And it's that must be true. Teenagers put a lot of trust into what social media says about them.
Yeah. And it's a shame. You know, it really is a shame that this is happening. If you are a teen and you happen to gossip about somebody, or maybe you're not getting along with someone right now, keep it between you and your friend and Jesus, the one that you're not getting along with. Go to someone trusted that you can talk to about this. And here's some statistics. Mm-hmm. And I always say I'm not a statistics guy, but
every show
I come up with statistics. So I must be a statistic guy. I'm not coming up with them. This is from the National Institute of Health and Independent Pew Studies. 59% of teens have been affected, seriously affected, not just have somebody talk about them, have been seriously affected by some sort of gossiping or bullying online. And I'm not talking about, oh, that guy can't pitch, or,
no,
you know, he struck out at the game. I'm talking about a serious, like, ongoing kind of bullying with a true bullying, not what some people consider bullying sometimes, but like a true gossiping bullying.
Mm-hmm.
59% have been affected. 42% have been called an offensive name online. right? Think about like the teenagers, you know, group of 10, four of them at least, over four of them, have been called an offensive name online, not to their face, all right? 32% of all teens have had a false rumor spread about them online.
Right.
So high anxiety and low self-esteem were the most common traits on the board, you know, associated with rumors and gossiping being spread among teens. I think it's important as we come to the close of our show, I want to share something that I was, you know, kind of taught growing up when it came to like people talking, you know, talking about you. Because my dad is a professional boxer growing up, and like you'd always have the one kid say, "Well, my dad can beat your dad," you know, and I'd be like, "No, he can't." Like, I know he can. And I would go home and dad, you need to fight so-and-so's dad because he says he can beat you up. And my dad would say things like, "It's not true, so don't worry about it. Just let it blow it off, you know?" And my mom would say, "Just let it roll off your back. It's not true. They're idiots. They're jealous." And like, it's easy, but like, that's what I was taught is like, it doesn't really matter. So I really never let all that kind of stuff affect me. Doesn't mean that people don't, especially in the world we're in today. My advice is, guys, is if you're being gossiped about, don't fuel it. You know, you can backpedal and this and that. No, that's not true. And that's not true. And why would you? Don't fight the crowd. As quickly as gossip appears, it will go away just as quickly.
And I think putting your worth into the one who created you, that knows you, is where you need to be listening, not to the people that don't. And, Can I share some scripture too?
Please do.
Okay, James 3:9. It's right back in James. It's just so, it's very rich with this topic. It says, "From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. This need not to be so, my brothers. Does the spring gush forth from the same opening both pure and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, produce olives or a grapevine figs? Neither can salt water yield fresh." So it's talking about if you're using your words and your you know, your mouth to be sharing both good and bad. Is that what it was meant to do?
No.
I'm looking at you like.
Yes, but I don't know if it was like.
Just because it can doesn't mean that's what it was meant to do. We can either curse human beings who were made in the image and likeness of God or uplift them. And that's how powerful our words are and how deep our words are. Is it you share the kind word to uplift, or is it the unkind word to tear down?
Well, and if you haven't been to confession in a while, you know, that what a great way to kind of cleanse the system, you know, like cleanse our spiritualities. Think about the people that you might have talked about and how hurt they may be. And when we pray for them, when you pray for them tonight, say, you know, "Lord, soften my heart to accept this person and help them to so that, you know, maybe they don't irritate other people." No, just something, you know, that loving about them.
Or Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a guard, Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips."
That's much better. That's much more eloquent than I said. That was a very more effective way of saying.
I got you.
The prayer. Okay,
Jesus got you.
I'm glad, Katie.
King David got you.
Yeah. Well, no, gossiping is something that I think we all need to be aware of. Would you agree?
Yeah, and to be thoughtful of. And the reason why we gossip is because we don't have words to handle critique or the problems in the
No one is immune,
to focus, I think, to strengthen your conflict resolution or your critiquing skills right. Is best.
Anyways. Wrap us up in prayer and send us to next month.
Set a guard, Lord, before my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Amen.
We'll see you next month. We're back the second Friday of every month. If you want more information, go to adventurecatholic.com.
Or just call us. We have good gossip.
Don't gossip about us. God bless you guys. Amen.